Welcome to the FinTalent Podcast. Today I'm talking to Dr. Talia Waller. Talia is one of the leading voices when it comes to personal branding. Her TEDx talk has been watched by more than 200,000 people, and she teaches personal branding at Duke University. While Talia has been featured in outlets such as Forbes and Fast Company, she's also the founder of Value Builds, an enterprise personal brand management software. Today, we will discuss the fundamentals of personal branding for freelancers. Talia, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. And Talia, before this conversation, we kind of sent back a couple of questions back and forth, and you had an interesting remark. Was the first question you put in that sheet was, do I actually have a personal brand as a freelancer? So I'm very, very curious what your answer to that question is and why it's relevant.
Mm-hmm. In general, everybody has a personal brand. More specifically, everyone who is trying to sell their value in a given marketplace. And that's because when you are a freelancer, although you might be working on a platform, you are your business. And every business, no matter how small or how large, has a brand, because if your business is what you do, your brand is what people think you do. They are both equally as important. So yes, you definitely have a personal brand when you were selling your value in a given marketplace.
Interesting. And when you mean personal brand, so what a lot of freelancers do is they kind of set up, you know, they don't say, you know, I'm Toby the freelancer, or I'm Talia the freelancer. They say, okay, I'm the, you know, general practice consultancy or consultancy and partners, and just themselves. Is that also, is that a personal brand or what do you mean by that exactly?
The personal brand is you. So the consultancy, if you set it up under a business name, whether it's your name or not, that's really just a legal construct. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So every business typically starts with a person, and people do business with people who they know, like, and trust. So, I think that's where we started. Then a French man came up with this notion of an LLC. So you won't be legally liable for what your business does. But at the end of the day, a business is just a bunch of people.
Yeah. 100%. So what I'm kind of curious about is also because many people ask us when they start their freelance career, you know, in our field, in that investment banking M&A field, the first question is always, how do I get clients? And I'm always telling them, wait, this is like step number three, right? it's not the first step to just start with, right? So there's other steps you have to do first. So many people just kind of sign up for, you know, they say for Upwork, they sign up for TopTal, for all kinds of freelance platforms, and just kind of say they offer everything, right? Mm. From what I read from you also is that your approach is quite a bit different from just going out there and spraying everything you can do to everyone else. So elaborate a bit on the benefits of personal branding.
Mm-hmm. I think initially when we try to market ourselves, we want to be everything to everyone, and it's just not possible, especially when it's just us. And so you really have to sit down and figure out, what is my unique value add? What are my top strengths? What do people come to me for more than they go to other people?
Yeah.
You know, what are other people offering? How can I position myself in a space where I'm offering my potential clientele value and, you know, positioning yourself with the best audience based on your top strengths? But then also, you might be in a situation where maybe everybody's claiming to have that strength. Okay, well, what other strengths do I have that other people aren't selling as much? That is still very valuable in my marketplace. Mm-hmm. So in addition to thinking about getting in front of the right clients, you have to think about, how am I packaging my value add, and what are my competitors doing so that I can position myself to be different? There's a Steve Jobs quote that I love which is you don't look at your competition and say, we're going to do it better. You look at the competition and say, we're going to do it differently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that quote. When you say packaging, what of course comes to mind for me is kind of packaging different services together. And you just briefly touched upon that already, but I kind of want to dive a bit deeper here. When it comes to the generalist versus specialist question specifically. So we can't be everyone to everything to everyone, of course. But we can, you know, package certain services together, right? As a product, you know. So what I often tell people is though to kind of say, like, what's your one specialty that you have? You know, this kind of Venn diagram of, well, I like to do what people pay me for and then what I'm good at. And then go for only that one specialty first. Is like, would you agree with that, or do you think that's actually not really the problem?
I would agree with that because you want to start like how you start a company with the minimal viable product, right? Yeah. You get in, you figure out what people like, what they don't like, you build your network, but you're sticking to something that you're strong at. You're not overextending yourself. Mm-hmm. Building a brand is just as hard as building a business. And I think that is what we underestimate. As you mentioned earlier, there are several platforms that you can go on, but you have to make sure that every time you're putting your package out there, it's consistent across all platforms, and you're able to consistently deliver on your value proposition. If you have five different value propositions, it's gonna be a tad bit more difficult to consistently deliver the best you can to your clientele every single time. And you build a brand based on that consistency.
Yeah.
The consistency of always living up to the expectation. And the expectation is set when you package yourself. You're saying, this is what I can deliver to you. This is my unique value add. This is what you're going to get from me and my services. Mm-hmm. This is the type of experience that I'm going to deliver when I work with you.
Yeah. Let's go for an example, because I really like what you're saying there, because essentially also saying you can be a generalist or a specialist as long as you position yourself consistently. And I think that's a very, very important point, that the value add has to be clear as generalist or specialist, and as long as it's consistent across all channels. Now one example that we have in our platform, because of course, you know, in M&A, there's a lot of different kind of financial skill sets people build up over time. Like one thing that many of our talents, you know, like to do, because kind of the first thing everyone does in their job is what's called financial modeling, right? Financial modeling is like, you know, you essentially model the financial situation that might occur in the future, you know, when you model, let's say, certain success potentials for a company in the future, right? Mm-hmm. So it's something that almost everyone likes to do. And everyone is like, okay, I'm good at financial modeling. Let me do that, right? So, but that's of course not enough to just say, because like there's like 100 people that are good at financial modeling. So how could all these people that say I do financial modeling essentially stand out and create like a value add in their personal brand? Can we walk through that example? I mean, it's like very
specific now,
but yeah.
So I think what I would do is approach it like a product market fit, right? Like if you have a startup and you're looking for product market fit, I'm like knee deep in the startup mind right now.
Yes.
But when you're doing product market fit, you're actually listening to the user and the user's experience with the product that you've built and that you're delivering.
Yeah.
And so we have to do the same thing when we're thinking about ourselves and packaging ourselves. And we have to really listen and think about, okay, in my previous experiences, like even before you became a freelancer, when you were working with clients,
yes,
what was their feedback? Mm-hmm. What stood out about their feedback? What did you learn from, like maybe it's something that stands out from consumers that was said over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wait, this is a pain point that isn't being addressed.
Yeah.
And then instead of having just the title, in your title, you're addressing their pain point.
Yeah.
And you change. Yeah. So that to me would be a perfect way to stand out and really get the attention of your clientele going beyond just a title, because titles are so generic and it's like, what do they mean? Yeah. So that's kind of a trend that you'll actually see on, I feel like other freelancer platforms and even LinkedIn, which I mean, I guess could be considered as a freelancer platform when you think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I really love that today because that's a really specific way of approaching it. It's kind of, okay, like you have your service. That's the one thing we start with. Then we bring that to the client. And then after we got feedback from the client, we actually incorporate a specific benefit or problem we solve and then use that for our personal brand. And it seems like it's actually kind of a process, right? Like it's is it actually a process? Because you mentioned earlier that it's a lot about consistency. But is there a process in refining it without losing that consistency?
Yeah, building a brand takes time because the most important aspect of a brand is trust.
Yes.
Because like with any relationship, that's the most important thing. It's not about always being visible. It's not always about being likable. The most important thing in a relationship is trust. So trust built over delivering or delivering whatever is expected from your relationship consistently over time.
Okay. And that will also give us the room to then just improve that personal brand over time and also iterate on it. That's awesome. Talia, my last question is about LinkedIn specifically. You already touched upon LinkedIn just now. But when people hear personal branding, and that's specifically also why I reached out to you, because I knew you weren't one of those, you know, LinkedIn personal branding coaches, but you actually know what you're talking about, is that a lot of people assume personal branding just means, you know, I post on LinkedIn 5 times a day and I put like a valuable position in my headline, right? Could you debunk that for a second and kind of give us a real opportunity behind platforms like LinkedIn for our personal branding?
So you're saying like, I'm trying to be clear on the question.
Yes.
Can you repeat it?
Oh yeah, sure. So the question essentially is, do I have to post on LinkedIn every day to become a personal brand, or what's the potential of a platform like LinkedIn for my personal brand? So the interplay between personal brand and LinkedIn essentially.
I think that no matter what the platform is, you have to take a step back because there are so many platforms and think about where is my customer, my ideal customer? Are they on LinkedIn? Are they using LinkedIn? If they are using LinkedIn, how do I get in front of them on LinkedIn? You know, is it I need to add them first as a connection, then post later once I already have a network of people that are looking for this service or this type of content? Maybe it's not you posting, but rather you interacting. People like to be liked.
Yes.
You know, people like to be engaged, you know. So maybe you don't have to be the person that's creating the content. Maybe you're the person that consistently engages with someone's content. And then because you consistently engage with them, now they want to engage with you.
Great. I like that. That's a very good point. It's actually, that's something I see a ton. There's so many people posting things all the time, but it's actually also a lot of value in just commenting on other people's content. And then people just also seeing your tagline, seeing your personal brand. Indeed. So yeah, that was a ton of valuable insights for our audience, but I also want to get the opportunity you already touched upon just now. You're also in the startup phase right now. So give us the pitch and how people can help you
I think, well, Valuables is a software as a service, and we are targeting enterprise organizations that are looking to measure, reward, and retain their thought leaders. So those spaces where we see thought leadership the most would include industries like technology, media, and even finance.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's where we are. And thank you so much for this opportunity. I've learned so much. I think mergers and acquisitions, it's fascinating. I hope that one day we will get to the point where someone can use our insights on thought leadership to find companies that have an awesome executive team and or their entire organization is taking up brand share in the market to the point where you do see it impact the financials. And it's something that we can track from a very personal branding side. Because I mean, I believe that the brand is the most valuable asset that a company has. Well, I guess the brand and the people.
Yeah, 100%. I like that. That's a beautiful, beautiful way of closing it. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Elia.
Thank you.